Plaschke, Kaplan, Blackstone, Torrey. Upsets, schmud sets in college basketball. Why everyone besides UConn should be on full alert. Whether or not this is the weekend that upset fever hits the women's tourney too, we'll figure that out. And how Major League Baseball got a second chance to make a first impression. I'm Clinton Yates. Happy Friday, kiddos. Let's go around the horn.
Several Dodgers,
Clinton. Oh, dog. Suffocating in the press box. A lifestyle I know a lot.
So get on the field.
Finally, we can put the chalk away. 2-2 seeds and a 1 fell last night in the men's NCAA tournament, and we might have seen the game of the year in college basketball while we were at it. Arizona, dunzo after Clemson blitzed them early, and the Wildcats could barely recover. Iowa State, nice to know you. The Illini had other plans, and Terrence Shannon Jr.'s scoop and score game is looking fantastic. But most importantly, we had a top seed fall in UNC. A blue bloodletting, if you will. Oh, and guess what? UConn won again. What's new? Bill, which one of these upsets impressed you the most?
I was so impressed with Clemson, Clinton. They won basically at Arizona. A game in L.A. is all full of Arizona fans. They won at Arizona. They held the Wildcats to 5 for 28 from three-pointers. Caleb Love went 0 for 9 from 3. Clemson's a good team. They've won 3 games. They hold their opponents to under 40% each game. They've trailed for a total of 50 seconds in the tournament. They've trailed for 50 seconds. They have 3 seniors leading the team. This is a good team. It's a big upset, a good team.
Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, I got to go Bama. They have a really tough out-of-conference schedule earlier in the year. They scheduled Creighton, Arizona, Clemson, Purdue, and they were in all of those games, and then they let it unravel at the end. So the knock on this team, we know they're good offensively, but defense is a question, and can they win close games? It was the best game of the night, and they came out big. I also wanted to say that Grant Nelson had a big star turn. We're always talking about the negative connotation of the transfer portal. This is finally a positive situation where a kid gets his chance on the big stage, so he's now a big threat for me.
The portal.
Kevin Blackstone.
Oh, roll tide, roll tide. Come on, you just said it. One number one went down yesterday, and who beat them? Alabama. And how did they beat them? By doing what Alabama's done all year. Not just a good offense, a great offense, scored 89 points and been averaging 90 on the year, and did so without Latrell Wrightsell, who is arguably their most efficient and best offensive player. And Grant Nelson, what a coming out for him. Not only did he win the game offensively, but check out what he did on the defensive end. I mean, he was basically playing like a spy in the paint, blocking shots and just pulling people out of the paint who were trying to drive. So I got to go with Alabama.
Pablo Torre.
But to me, it's the Illini, Clinton. Because, yes, you can talk about, okay, wow, these teams really had impressive victories. Did any of them play the number one ranked, most efficient defense in the country? Because that's what the Illini did against Iowa State. Iowa State, best defense in the country. The Illini, of course, a top five offense in terms of efficiency. And they were great. You mentioned Terrence Shannon, Clint. We know about him. But the fact that Iowa State's offense looked helpless at times, this was a close game the entire way. That's why it was exciting. And they couldn't hit shots. And, of course, you could say, well, they should have made those. But the reason they didn't is because the Illini are actually underrated in the country on this panel. That's why they're my pick for this one.
Pablo Torre, caping for the Big Ten. We love to see it. Plaschke, what you got?
No, Pablo, Iowa State is terrible offensively, like you said, but they weren't any good coming in. So that wasn't really an upset. Arizona, one of the best offenses in the country. Clemson stopped. That's where Clemson's a bigger upset.
Big Ten, Pac-12, we're fighting. Both of you were getting muted for arguing with each other. The only non-upset, by the way, UConn winning again. They doubled up San Diego State in the second half last night en route to their second 30-plus victory of the tournament. The tuna melt is what Tony would say, but I'm Clinton. As the field shrinks and UConn's win total grows, KB, are you still taking the field versus the Huskies?
Well, as you know, Clinton, I went to scout UConn up in Brooklyn at the first and second round, saw them against Northwestern. They did not outscore Northwestern in the second half of that game, by the way, but they're loaded. Look, they've got the size, they've got the skill, they've got the coaching. They know where they need to shore up, and they can do that. However, I'm still taking the field because I think the Houston Cougars team that I've seen that Kelvin Sampson's got this year is the type of team that can match up with anybody, including UConn, and possibly take them down. So I don't think it's just a road paved with gold for them to the championship.
Pablo Torre.
So I'm weighing the road that UConn's been on since the beginning of last year's tournament. It's really impressive, right? Every opponent they've played has shot under 40%. Every game UConn themselves has shot over 40%. Really impressive. But the stat, Clinton, I think about, since 2004, when they established the number one overall seed as an announced concept, only three of those teams have won the whole thing. So to me, statistically speaking, you have to take the field. UConn's incredible, the clear favorite in this tournament, but the field is always the answer in a parity-driven tournament based on chaos.
I'm going to let you cook when it comes to talking about number one seeds. We'll get to that later, Bill Plaschke.
Yeah, okay, so UConn's won nine straight games. What's the one thing they haven't faced, the one hurdle they haven't hurdled? They haven't been in a close game. They haven't won a nail-biter. They haven't been pressed down the stretch. Houston has many times. Purdue has many times. I want to see UConn in a close tournament game, see how they handle themselves. I don't think they know. I don't think they have any idea what it's like. I think they're going to find out. I'll take the field.
Emily Kaplan.
Unlike Pablo, I didn't dress like the team that I wanted to talk about. I do think Illinois, though, is one of their toughest tests left because they're very talented. But if your Illinois shoot free throws like they did last night, I think they're going to be in trouble. I got to go UConn here. You know, Bill said they can't win close games, and they haven't won close games because they're blowing everyone out. In the last eight tournament games, their smallest margin of victory is 13 points. They've graduated five of their top eight scorers from last year, and they somehow have gotten better. Like, this is just the best program right now.
UConn, Blue Bloods, men's and women's. Stop acting like that's not true. Moving on to tonight, North Carolina State. Well, they're the last real Cinderella left. The 11th seed who tore through the ACC tournament. They haven't lost a game in 2 weeks. DJ Burns is giving Oliver Miller vibes, and we love it. The Big O, what an incredible nickname. Zakeel O'Neal and the Purdue Boilermakers, well, they're taking on the Zags. Tennessee is facing off against Creighton in a heavyweight matchup. And Duke, they're still hanging around. They got the one-seed Houston Cougars as their next opponent. Pablo, I come to you for awful upset predictions. Do you think an upset run continues tonight? And if so, who you got, Playboy?
So, first of all, of course I do. Second of all, how dare you? But the first thing, so who do I got? Tonight I'm going to take Duke. And it's weird for me, the upset guy, to pick Duke as, like, my Cinderella suddenly. But against Houston, I see it happening, Clint. Of course, Kyle Filipowski, all the theatrics about the court storming aside, I believe he's a reliable force that we should trust when it comes to his domination of the middle of the paint specifically. He has size. Houston doesn't have all the depth they need to compete with Duke. To me, Duke over Houston shouldn't be an upset on the name brands, but tonight it is. I'll take Duke.
Kevin Blackstone.
I'm not going to go with Duke in the upset. I just told you I think the Cougars are going to win it all. But if I see an upset coming tonight, it's going to be NC State. Look, they're the hottest team in the tournament right now, and we know how heat wins tournaments. Seven in a row after just bombing at the end of the ACC season last year. Burns is who everybody is talking about. Yeah, he reminds of Oliver Miller with those great Arkansas teams. But DJ Horn, the guard, is a guy who really stirs the drink for them. He's been absolutely solid, fantastic. So I think with their guard play, the size that they have, that they can give Marquette some problems. And Burns continues to play more and more minutes as he's more and more ready to do that. Early in the season, he would get tired.
Stunning that KB is all on NC State after they won so many games in the District of Columbia, our hometown. But I get it. I get it. Emily Kaplan.
Give me Gonzaga. They played Purdue back in November in Maui, and they looked like they had the blueprint to beat them. They were up five at the half, and then they let it unravel. They were 6 for 32 from 3 points. That's just taking way too many threes and also too many turnovers. But they've completely changed their team at halfway through the season. Mark Few now has a new lineup that has three bigs in it. Purdue's big advantage, I think, is rebounding, so I think Gonzaga can give them a challenge there.
Bill Plaschke.
No, only one upset's going to win tonight, and that's Creighton. It's going to be Tennessee. That's not really an upset. Creighton, last season, made the Elite Eight, lost by a point in the last second to San Diego State. Three starters are back from that team. Tennessee, 3 for 25 against Texas in the last game for 3 points. They're not shooting the ball well. Creighton's got three players over 15 points a game in this tournament. Four players or 15 points a game in this tournament. The only team like that. They have depth. They have height. They're well coached. Creighton wins tonight.
I'm not sure that Creighton is really, honestly, even an upset. There's your horn. Who's in the lead? Emily Kaplan? That makes sense, per usual. By the way, Major League Baseball, we have to talk. The whole point of being in the bigs is that you are the best-looking ball players on earth when it comes to presentation. These new unis with their iron-on everything, ill-fitting seams, terrible wicking, and never mind the impossible-to-see from the crowd nameplates, etc., it just doesn't work. This is an actual disaster from a visual perspective, and I'm sorry, but thanks. I hate it. Something must be done. We used to be a proper country. This, however, is unacceptable. Buy ourselves next, kiddos.
Look at the sweat. All of the sweat on.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
Garish uniforms aside, opening day USA version in Major League Baseball gave us two shutouts, two rainouts, and two monster blowouts. The Orioles made quick work of the Halos. The Diamondbacks exploded for two touchdowns and a safety in a 16-1 win over the Rockies. And the Dodgers look like the kind of team that has, you know, absolutely nothing on their minds but what happens between the lines. Manny Machado did his worst Bo Jackson impression, and Juan Soto is suddenly throwing people out from the outfield. 2019 me is in a fever dream. Bill, you see enough from your Dodgers to pencil in a commissioner's trophy come October?
Yes, I did pencil it in. Their big three is unbelievable. The three, Mookie and Shohei and Freddie are unbelievable at the top of the order. They scored six runs yesterday. They had four RBIs. They had two home runs. I call them dread, doom, and destruction. The three-headed monster at the top of the order. The Cardinals were right before the game started. And then Tyler Glasnow pitched great. If Glasnow can stay healthy, they can win it all.
Bill, dropping nicknames on people. Emily, what stood out to you most from domestic opening day?
You know, we're always talking about ways to get baseball's audience younger, so I think they are helping by making that font on the uniform smaller. I also think that we are helping with the use of having three games clocking in under 2 hours and 30 minutes. That's significant. Yes. And teams like the Orioles and the Diamondbacks, who are very young and exciting, combining for 25 runs. I love the Diamondbacks after the success of last year expanding their payroll, and it's already, sorry for this, but paying off.
Yeah, Chase Field, let's go. KB.
Oh, my D.C. homie, you know I could not take my eyes off of Juan Soto's performance yesterday. Not only does he throw out a guy at the plate to save the game, but he also has an RBI. He also puts his lovely eyes to work, draws several walks. First time a player's done that in a game since 1920. Mark Lerner, what are you going to do? Bring the man back next year.
KB, it was two teams ago already. Get over it. Come on, Pablo Torre.
No, I'm still in this. I want to add a fourth D to Plaschke's description there. Dread, doom, destruction, and denial for Kevin Blackstone. What are you doing, dude? Juan Soto's in this plasma, man. Yes, we're paying him $31 million, the New York Yankees are, and that's a record-setting salary, but this is how you earn it. And this is how you make a start to a season that is clearly binary, Clinton. It's World Series trophy or bust, Commissioner's trophy or bust for the New York Yankees. We know that after last season. This is how you start, by unveiling an arm that I did not know this gentleman had.
Bill,
so thank you to Juan Soto for being in this city.
Bill, I got to ask you, we both live in Los Angeles. I've seen you in the Chavez Ravine press box a million times. What are the vibes like around Dodger Stadium right now with that squad?
That's actually the real story, Clinton, is that it's overwhelming. The media attention on Shohei is overwhelming. They fill the press box. They fill the food room behind the press box. In the clubhouse after the game, it was claustrophobic. The players couldn't stand it. The players hated it. The players were complaining about it. Players couldn't move. 100 people crammed into a small space. It's dangerous. It's thoughtless. It's not working. And you got to wonder, is this going to affect the team? If it's like this all year, is the team going to get worn out and drawn out and emotioned out on this? This is really, something's got to change. I don't know what's going to happen, but there's too many people covering one guy. It's too crazy.
I got to say, this was my main concern with the Ohtani pickup period when it happened. It wasn't about the baseball, which is another matter. Whether he pitches or not again, we'll see. But the simple amount of attention for a team like that that already has the most, that is very difficult to manage. And according to Bill, it's not exactly going well. Whew, I wish his teammates the best, because that is not going to
be awful.
Moving right along. The best tournament of the spring is back tonight, and this time we've moved to the neutral sites. All the top seeds, they're still there. Some of you people seem to think that Caitlin Clark's Iowa Hawkeyes are the most vulnerable number one left. They play Colorado, who's no slouch. We remember that from last season. USC, of course, has Baylor to contend with, and South Carolina still has not lost a game this season. And the Cowboy Carters, pardon me, the Texas Longhorns, they battle Gonzaga. Emily, is this the weekend we lose the chalk in the women's tournament? And who's at the top? Who at the top, excuse me, is the most vulnerable?
Sorry, Clinton, the best tournament of the spring hasn't started yet. That's the Stanley Cup playoffs,
there.
But this is a pretty good one, too. I'm a little worried about Iowa right now. I think West Virginia showed a good blueprint of how to frustrate Caitlin Clark. Sure, she had 32 points. She earned every one of them and only had 3 assists. Their lineup's just really small, and if they advance past Colorado, they're a very good team. The other number one seeds have some bigs, and that could be a problem.
Colorado, a.k.a. the fighting Kate Fagans in this household, Kevin Blackstone.
Well, I'm not so worried about any of the number ones. I mean, I think that they will get through, but the game I'm going to be watching is UCLA and LSU. That's a 2 and a 3. Remember, Kim Mulkey was not very happy getting that 3 seed, thought the defending national champions deserved more. Maybe they did, but they struggled with MTSU having to come back in that game. UCLA didn't play great in their game. Keke Rice leading that team. I think that's the 2 to watch to go down.
Washington Post humans mentioning Kim Mulkey. Dicey situation. Pablo Torre.
Yeah, when is Kim Mulkey ever happy, by the way? I haven't really seen that so far. But I will point out that if we're going to expand the favorites here tonight to the 2 seeds, yeah, Stanford, Clinton, Cameron Brink fouled out of their last game. They had to go to overtime to win it. And, of course, they play NC State. Yeah, I think Stanford is super vulnerable. I am not concerned about South Carolina. I'm not concerned about being frustrated, by the way, to the tune of 32 points for Caitlin Clark. I long for such frustrations. But Stanford, to me, feels ripe for an upset.
Bill Plaschke.
Well, Pablo, Cameron Brink's always in foul trouble. Stanford's fine. I was in trouble. And this is for real. Colorado, shout out to Kate.
This is for real.
How many points did Caitlin Clark score in the fourth quarter of the last game against West Virginia? 0. Well, she scored points. How many baskets did she make? She didn't make a basket. She was stymied. Colorado was leading Iowa at halftime last year in the tournament. Colorado's got a good, solid team. Iowa's tired. They're beat up. They're worn down from the whole season of all this hype, all this media attention. Colorado wins this game.
A lot of free throws in that game. A lot of pressure on that team. Who do we got? Oh, KB. I'm sorry. You're a little too obsessed with DC, our hometown today. Pablo Torre.
202.
No 16 over a 1 today. Emily Kaplan. Phil
all
Plaschke.
Right, all right, all right.
The kids call a showdown.
These are 2-1.
Coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bill Plaschke versus Emily Kaplan in showdown. Lifetime record is 3-3, making this
a game seven. Let's get to it.
The best two words in Around the Horn.
In the NBA, conduct unbecoming of the one seed. This is your Boston Celtics update. After blowing a 30-point lead to the Hawks earlier in the week, the Celts not executing down the stretch last night in Atlanta again and losing that one in OT. 44 shots, 44 points for DeJounte Murray, who could only laugh afterwards. Bill, they have the one seed locked up. Do two losses like this make it hard to take the C's seriously?
Gee, what a surprise. Jason Tatum throwing up two bad shots in the crunch time. Listen, Boston's going to win. They're going to win the East easily, and they're going to get waxed by Denver in the finals. They have no chance for a championship. This is not a championship team. You don't lose a 30-point lead one night and then lose to the same team a couple nights later. It doesn't happen. Boston, they just don't have it. Jason Tatum is not MVP candidate. He's not a championship player. No on Boston.
Emily.
Boston's body of work allows me to take them seriously, but I'm a little concerned if this is a playoff matchup. They specifically put Kristaps Porzingis on this kid to see what it would look like in the playoffs, and Kristaps didn't do well on defense and didn't shoot well, so that's not super comforting.
I'll give you both a point. They've been in Atlanta for like a week because of the NCAA tournament. Cut them some slack. Showdown 2. NFL Pro Days for some quarterbacks. In Washington, Michael Penix Jr. ran a sub 4.640 and jumped higher and threw his last ball 75 yards. In North Carolina, Drake May threw more passes in faster succession than all of the other QBs, and he got rave reviews. Emily, who raised their stock the most yesterday?
It's got to be Penix, because the big question about him is his multiple ACL and shoulder injuries. Running that fast and jumping that high quashes a lot of those questions.
Bill?
Yeah, I agree. It's got to be Michael Penix. He has to assure himself maybe the Seahawks draft him at, what, 16? He shouldn't last any longer. He'll be a steal if he lasts any longer than that.
High-scoring showdown. We might as well call this overtime in Game 7. Showdown 3. It's been a few days since the LSU Pro Day, and the Jaden Daniels conversation has shifted to his elbow. Photos of the wonky-looking appendage. Well, they showed up on Twitter the other day, and every person with a keyboard looked like, what is going on? Today, Daniels tweeted, "My elbow is perfectly fine. Stop the cap." Bill, does this seem like something that would be alarming to you?
No. Has he had elbow surgery? No. Has he had elbow injuries? No. Everybody has weird body appendages. Everybody does. So, no. It's just, this is nothing.
Emily.
It's a weird photo.
All of these overtime Game 7 references. I told you the best playoffs in sports is Stanley Cup playoffs. You'll see plenty more injuries in a couple weeks. And guess what? Those guys could be good football guys, too.
Emily Kaplan, mob, wife, vibes, win you programs today. Take the win.
Making Jersey proud. So the Flyers brought over their goaltender of the future, Ivan Fedotov, and it's a crazy situation. He was arrested about a year ago and forced into a year of military service in Russia. Nobody knew, including him, whether his dreams of playing in North America would be realized. So credit to Flyers general manager Danny Briere of navigating a very delicate situation, keeping it quiet, and congrats to the Flyers. 6'8", this guy's going to be the biggest goaltender in NHL history.
We're on a 71.5-hour break. I want to thank everybody once again for letting me do this week. It's always a ton of fun.
You're awesome.
Got to get back to Los Angeles, though, and see what's going on in that wacky press box.
Come back to the clubhouse.
Your boy.
Missed it!
Body parts was Bill talking about.